This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
Welcome back to Wednesday at 9 p.m., Season 2, Episode 4. Tonight, we will find out why dressing up as a choir boy may put you in a tight spot, why water is wet even after death, and why you should always bring an extra jacket if you're driving by a cemetery.
Can we go back to that first one?
We'll get to it. Yeah, and I realize it's a very provocative statement there, but it'll make a lot more sense in just a little bit.
Frank was a choir boy for all you people.
That was
there
altar
that
server.
Know.
So I guess that's kind of the same idea. I mean,
well, one sings and one assists, because I was also an altar server.
Really?
Yeah. For many years up until I think high school. And I didn't even go to a Catholic school.
It's real dedication.
Yeah. So in case you guys didn't know, tonight's story is going to be about women in white. I know that wasn't clear at all from the hook, but I wanted to explore this phenomenon, and you know, it kind of contrasts well with Black Eyed Kids, Women in White. You got
true.
A nice little contrast.
I didn't think
there.
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't done a woman in any women in white stories. I think you're the first one.
Yeah, Aaron was asking me like, "Oh, did we do this?" I'm like, "Yeah, no, I don't think we have. We probably referenced it."
I wasn't sure if we had talked about it in like a Halloween episode or something.
Oh yeah,
but it's possible. And if you know, I repeat a story we've already said, I apologize.
I doubt it.
But I don't think that we did. So before we get into it, do we have any shout outs, announcements, anything? Nick's pointing at himself. He's got plenty.
Yes. So, of course, shout out to my mother who has watched or listened to. We're not uploading to YouTube just yet, but has listened to every episode. And she texted me before recording saying she wanted to give us a shout out for producing such great episodes.
Aww.
So a shout out from my mother to the three of us.
Wow,
that's very
I think
sweet.
There's another shout out to at least one of us. Nick, is it? Or wait, no, I keep messing it up since season two started. Is it to you from Troy or to Troy from you?
From Nick to Troy.
I thought it was to Aaron through Troy from Nick.
Yeah. No.
What?
Huh?
Anyway, Troy, Nick, there's some shout outs one way or the other. All right. Shout out, of course, to Fallon, and a shout out again to the Unknown Paranormal Society. I think they were at the Dr. Best house, but they inspired this because they talked about one of the stories we'll talk about later, Hattie the Hitchhiker. So,
nice.
Frank, anything from you?
I'd like to give a shout out to Dr. Marvin Bentley, who received his PhD in cell biology back in 2010 and currently runs the lab that my girlfriend Sarah is studying at. He has listened to at least one episode of ours, Sarah's episode. So he might maybe take a listen to some future ones like this one. So if you're listening, Marvin, I'm sorry. But also, can you officially peer review any of our episodes? That would be great if we can get your stamp of approval.
Is he authorized?
I mean, is now a good time to bring up the replication crisis? Probably not. Probably not.
Got that out. it's a much bigger problem in probably other fields. But.
Let's do an episode on that. No.
Oh God, if you want to bore everyone.
Yeah, I'd like to shout out Dr. Bentley and his neurons and the entire Bentley lab.
Do you mean like the neurons like in his brain or like just the neurons in the lab?
His personal neurons and the neurons of the rats that they kill humanely and harvest the neurons from.
Why do you have to kill an animal humanely? That seems weird.
What, you rather them do it inhumanely?
No, but like
animalistically?
Do it kind of like, you know, throw a little like panache.
Like the Hunger Games, but like for rats.
Yeah. What, like have rats like fight each other, then the winning one.
Yeah, that's more
get
natural.
To die.
It's the cheese.
It gets released.
He gets released and a bunch of cheese.
It's more natural that way.
Anyway,
if you're listening,
let's get this back on track here. If you want to hear an episode about us rambling, I'm sure we can make that happen very easily.
Yes, just listen to episodes 1 through this one for that.
And all future episodes.
Yes.
And all episodes that don't exist.
Yeah, the secret lost episode.
So, women in white. Popular ghost type. What do you guys know about women in white?
Well, we saw one, if you remember, Aaron.
Yeah, no, you didn't. Nick and I did see one.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, he missed it. We were driving by.
I'll never believe
what
you.
What was it? It was across from MPAC.
It was the approach.
Yeah, right by the approach. We saw one. Broad daylight. And we had to let Frank
You probably
know.
Saw a broad in daylight. I agree.
Whoa, you can't say that.
You yeah. probably saw a strong, independent woman in daylight.
There you go.
All kidding aside, what do you actually know besides that eyewitness account, Nick?
Well, I mean, I know that it's the tale of someone, typically a man, is driving down a dark road. He sees a woman in a white dress. He pulls over. She goes in his car and he asks like where she needs to go. And The OG story, I think, what is it? Mary?
Resurrection Mary?
Resurrection Mary. It, you know, some guy brought her to a cemetery in like Chicago and she just walked through the gate and disappeared after he brought her there. So that's basically it. It's you see a woman on like a road. You feel like you need to help her. She comes into your car. You drive her somewhere that she tells you to go. When you get there, she walks out, walks there, and disappears.
All right. Frank, anything you want to add to that?
I would say, following off of Nick, that the idea of the woman in white is very closely tied to the legend of the vanishing hitchhiker, which is kind of that category that describes the story Nick just told of someone picking someone up, and then they disappear at some point. Turns out they were a ghost. But I would say, I know that the woman in white phenomena isn't always tied to vanishing hitchhiker stories.
That's true.
So I'm curious if, what you've uncovered and what stories you have, and
so
if any
I do
of them
have,
are traveling hitchhiker or vanishing hitchhiker.
I do
hitchhiker.
Have a couple traveling hitchhiker, vanishing hitchhiker, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But yes, like Frank said, not just a woman on the side of the road that needs to be brought somewhere.
That's the classic.
That is the classic. But overall, these ghosts are female ghosts adorned with a white dress and usually are connected to some tragic event. And what I learned is this isn't just like an American thing. This is all over the world. Different cultures have different interpretations and different like variations of that sort of thing. But some general like overall things that all of these cases have are these women in white have something to do with loss or betrayal or unrequited love. And a lot of the time it can happen if there's murder, accidental deaths, adultery, or honor killings. And honor killings are like, oh, you've disgraced the family. You're going to die now.
Oh.
So, yeah.
You know.
Fun stuff.
Fun fact for all you Supernatural watchers out there. The TV show. The first episode was about a woman in white. And it was that like.
Really?
Her husband had an affair. Mm-hmm. She got really mad and then drowned their kids. And then she killed herself because she felt so bad.
Oh, wow. That's literally exactly this.
And then she's on a road in a white dress. But guys that pick her up bring her to like their old house. But then she'll like kill them.
Yep. I did actually, when I was doing some research, there was I was trying to look at some of like the global phenomena.
Mm.
And Brazil had one that was kind of interesting. And I was trying to find the source for it. It was a little graphic. Oh. Well, it was like not to get too gruesome and graphic, but there was this woman that was having an affair, and to punish her, the husband starved her and only offered her food, which was the person that she was in love with.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I couldn't find the original source for that. Whoa. So that may all be made up. But in doing so, I did find there was a website in Portuguese that was talking about Supernatural episode one. Like, that's really something to start this off. But
what a tie-in.
Yeah, I did not end up using that story because I couldn't find the original source, but yeah, so sorry for that. Yeah, so I'm gonna try and bring us back to our roots, guys, because I feel like, you know, we've just kind of gone off the deep end of just researching anything and everything. But I'm going to try and bring us back, going from global phenomenon to more local legends.
Local spooky stories?
Local spooky stories, where we all started. So I'm going to try and bring us back a little bit and maybe see if we can keep looking at some local stories. But I know we've got some crazy things on the dock.
It's true.
So I will give you guys a choice of some global places. We got Canada, Estonia, or Germany to start with.
I'm partial to Germany.
All right, Germany. All right. So, time period is the 1500s. There's this woman by the name, and I'm going to butcher all these names, so apologies in advance. But I think it's Jacobia of Baden, who married Duke John William of Jülich Cleavesburg, and they had their wedding in 1585. Now, a little bit about John. He was not a mentally stable man.
Okay.
And at times would go completely mad.
Some things never change.
Yeah. Nevertheless, though, he was the second born son, and the eldest son had passed away. So when his father passed away in 1592, John took the throne. Now, like I said, not a mentally stable guy. So, while he was locked away for his, according to Wikipedia, temper tantrums. because of his condition, he was locked away. And so his wife, Jacobia, attempted to rule on his behalf and take over. Now, a little bit more about John. Poor guy. Probably impotent.
Damn, he's got the whole nine yards.
Yeah. So him and his wife, Jacobia, did not have any children. And so, allegedly, while John was locked away, she started having some relations with the bailiff, Dietrich von Hall zu Ophoven. Now, they didn't have any children, but I'm guessing, and the source that I got this from, which we'll include in the show notes,
great,
posits that it was probably related to the fact that she wanted a child and that she thought, you know, maybe her husband will be locked away quite a while. Ironically, he would not be the only one locked away, as she was arrested and locked in the Dusseldorf castle, in the tower, in 1595. Ironically, more, that was the same place where she and John were married.
Oof.
And after a couple years in the tower, she had given a toast to some of the guests that she had received that night and toasted to her husband's health. You know, clearly she was concerned about her husband, even though her heart had strayed. The next morning, she was found dead. People suspect that it was the sister-in-law.
Oh.
Wow, this name is Sybil?
I think it's just Sybil.
Sybil? I don't know. But she had gained power while Jacoby was in jail. So people are suspecting, you know, you did my brother dirty, so I'm going to kill you. Nothing was ever confirmed about that, but possible causes of death at the time were probably suffocation or strangulation, because someone had seen that she had like a very red face and like blue eyes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now this was rather convenient for John because he got out of jail and remarried, but his likely impotency had still prevailed and he did not have a child and passed away childless. Now fast forward a few centuries, the castle had a fire and a large portion of the castle fell to ruin, but the tower itself had remained, and many people had reported seeing this lady in a white dress, and she was headless. So there are theories too that she may have been beheaded, not strangled. So so that's our first story.
A lot of emotional
damage.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's very typical of a woman in white story, is there's a lot of intense emotion, positive or negative. So this was a lot of like betrayal and murder and adultery, and yeah, it was a lot.
In the late 1590s, mid to late 50, or more like the mid 1590s.
Yeah. And so yeah, that's one of the less interesting stories in my opinion, but it kind of showcases a typical, you know, shows the themes behind the woman in white. So
yeah,
I thought it would be apt to include it.
Well, imagine while she's imprisoned in that tower, the tower or the castle that she was married in, imagine for the whole time that she's there, like the emotion, the negative emotion that would be brewing right up until and including her death, especially if it was not to natural causes. So I could totally understand how that could leave some sort of, you know, choose your interpretation of ghosts here, whether it's, you know, residue, like
stone tape
theory, like, you know, repeating events that happened, or like a part of her, like literally her, she hasn't been able to move on because she died in such pain and anguish and distress.
Like, yeah, that's
it lines up.
Really hitting the nail on the head there. So that's like one of the classic stories. I do have another classic one from Canada.
Ooh, Canada
here, and we'll finish it off of the global phenomenon with the crazy story.
Nice. In my opinion. good.
So in Canada, in Quebec specifically, or Quebec, however you pronounce it.
Quebec.
Is that the right way to pronounce it?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Wow.
I'm pretty sure French Canadians pronounce it Quebec.
They're not real people.
Well,
they can't.
If you're from French Canada, I apologize on behalf of Frank.
Write in. Please write in.
Also, yeah, please write in, because we'd be interested to see your interpretation of this story.
In French. Straight to the trash bin.
Okay.
Guys, we're back to our first episode. Don't trust the French.
We have set a precedent of not liking the French.
Literally from the very start.
Okay. Well, no, we said that, but I'm going to talk about the French. So, Montmorency Falls in Quebec. There is a woman, supposedly, who this lady in white was named Matilda Robin. Now, picture this, the Seven Years' War, 1759, we're right in the middle of the war. I don't remember from history class what the Seven Years' War was about, but apparently it was the French and...
First the British?
The British.
Shocker.
And Native American people, or tribes on each side? Yeah.
Yeah, so, brief history lesson there. But during this war, Matilda fell in love with a farmer who also happened to be in the militia, by the name of Louis Tessier. Tessier, I don't know. I'm butchering it. I don't know French. I apologize. So, you know, she got her father's approval. Everyone was on board with this wedding. They were all the ducks were in a row. Wedding was set end of the summer of 59. You know, not to be confused with the song.
I was about to say.
Summer of 69.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this would not be as exciting as that song because it was not meant to be. As Louis was enlisted to the Battle of Beauport in July. So probably about a month before their wedding, he was sent out to this battle.
That's rough.
So I got some good news and bad news, guys.
What's the bad
news? Depending on your interpretation. So the bad news is Louis was one of the 60 French to die in the Battle of Beauport.
What's the good news?
Well, the good news, now this may be bad news if depending on what you guys think, but the French were victorious.
Boo! But
it was good news for Matilda, but you know, her lover or her husband to be had passed away. So, you know, grief is a crazy thing. So, what did she do to cope with her loss? Any guesses?
Alcohol.
Nope.
Beat her kid. Wait, no, she doesn't have kids.
Nope. They did not have children.
Jumped off a cliff.
You're very close, Frank.
Really?
Yeah. So she decided the illogical thing to do was to put on her wedding dress and throw herself off the top of the falls.
Oof.
Where they had previously met.
Seems legit.
And to this day, people have heard cries and even seen a ghost in a white wedding dress falling from the top of the falls.
Oh my God, that'd be terrifying.
That would be terrifying.
Imagine you see someone fall, you think someone just jumped off in a wedding gown, then you go to look and nothing's there.
Or you think you can't find them. That's even scarier, right?
You're just like, oh my God, I just watched this person.
Yeah, you might not jump to ghosts. You'd be like, oh my God, I got to call. So I got to call the, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd imagine they probably have lots of calls like that. But I don't know if the story is true, guys. I did see a very interesting point. But I mean, it doesn't disprove it, but it makes it a little weird.
A little sus.
So here's a little tidbit of trivia for you guys.
Okay.
Apparently, brides didn't start wearing white until after Queen Victoria in 1840.
Oh.
Ooh.
So I don't know if that was like a universal, like absolutely nobody even tried it, or if it was like a, yeah, it just wasn't the popular thing until she did it. Like it would be like Taylor Swift doing something nowadays. And, you know, it would be like, oh yeah, nobody did that until Taylor did it.
Fair enough.
Interesting.
So
I wonder what colors that, I don't know if that,
that's a great question. Let me, quick look.
I know that in the medieval period, like I am pretty sure like the peasants at least, I mean, and the royalty, of course, they did wear kind of like colorful clothing.
It was extremely colorful. Like to our modern sensibilities, it would be like obnoxiously colorful and ugly.
Thank you, Jason Kingsley, for informing us.
Let's put that in the sources.
Yeah, we'll put Jason Kingsley, CEO of Rebellion. Studios.
Everyone thinks they just wore like brown and were covered in like horse crap all day. No, they were like wearing different colored socks.
Apparently, and this is the add-on to what you guys just said, but apparently it was quite common to wear red, pink, blue, brown, even black.
Mm.
So
like altogether, or just those were some of the colors that
I guess those were just some of the colors, but
so that doesn't, but you're right. That doesn't mean no one ever wore white.
Right. It just wasn't like the thing to do. So, right. I mean,
I don't know if it disproves it.
I don't know if it doesn't necessarily disprove it, but well, it makes it a little harder to believe.
Doesn't that beg an interesting question? Cause what if the ghost is like,
you think the ghost evolved?
Yes.
Over time.
Would a ghost evolve to like the current understanding? Do you know what I mean?
Or hear me out. Have you ever heard of a ghost that's like red? You wouldn't know the color of the dress necessarily. Ghosts aren't ghosts colored. Are
all white. Some people sometimes see ghosts that are like full apparitions. It's not common.
No, very.
I don't know. Do you think the ghost would like keep up with the times?
I doubt it. Like, you got to figure all these ghosts.
You don't look convinced. Does not look convinced at all.
Well, it's
you see all these ghosts that have this old style clothing, and you mean to tell me not one of them tried to keep up and wore like a hoodie and like?
No, that's because
shorts.
The Black Eyed Kids are doing that.
Yes,
but we don't know. True. Like every ghost is the same phenomena, right? Maybe there are some ghosts that are just repeats of something that happened. So it's just like a stone tape. Maybe there's some other ghosts that
it's like
are just
the Gettysburg
like,
ghosts, like that. You no one sees a Gettysburg ghost not in Union
wearing
or
like Nike sneakers.
Yeah, no one sees a Union soldier dripped out in Supreme,
dripped out, or like a beanie.
If you have, please write in.
But yeah, please, that would be something. Yeah, because right, if it's like a ghost of a woman that was to be married, like I don't know. I guess I'm getting a little bit into like Tulpa sort of like, you know, your thought, the perspective of the viewer influences what they see. But I don't know. I don't think that totally rules it out. But I also do like the idea when people point out, what's the term for this? Anachronism.
And I like think, something's just really out of date.
I might be adding like, an extra syllable in there.
Anachronism is like something that it doesn't fit in with the time period it's in. It's like anachronistic.
Am I saying it right? Yeah. So this would be an anachronism in that she can't be wearing a white dress if that wasn't a thing back then. It's like oftentimes people have caught fraudulent records and such through anachronisms like this. Like some legal document that's purported to have been written and signed in like 1990. Turns out it used a font that was available in Microsoft Word from like 2010 onwards. So I feel like this could be, it's similar to that where it's like, wait a minute, that's not possible given the time. So I think it probably does lean to taking some credence away from it, but I don't think it's impossible that,
but I mean, hey,
keeps up with the times
again. Just because white wasn't common doesn't mean no one did it.
That's true.
If a font didn't exist, it just didn't exist.
Yeah, that one's like pretty clear.
Yeah, it's not like it's not like white fabric just hadn't been invented.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So yeah, very interesting overall.
Yeah. So I'm going to do the last like global one. Obviously, there's plenty of stories online.
Oh, I bet.
I just picked a handful to look at because I thought they were neat. So Estonia, I don't even know where this
it's in the Baltic Sea or near the Baltic Sea. It's like northern Europe next to Russia. Okay. Or borders Russia. It's under Finland kind of.
Okay. So because of Nick's geography, great job. So in 13th century there was a castle that was being constructed known as Castle of Hapsalu, that could be really butchered, but we'll go with that, which served as a place for the bishopric of Oselwick to reside, and this was to replace one of the castles that the Lithuanians burned down. So this castle it was not a quick and easy thing. Like, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. Yeah, well, this castle was built in 3 centuries.
Wow.
Yeah. Very elaborate.
So when you said it was, when did you say it was built?
13th century was when it started.
It started in the 13th, so it ended in the 16th.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I wasn't sure if you meant it ended in the 13th.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain.
Okay.
It took a while. It included a cathedral and a monastery. So there was really a lot going on. So, monastery, there were a lot of priests, bishops, and canons living at the monastery. And you know what those people love to do? Swear a life of chastity. And they formed the a club and they put a sign outside that said no girls allowed. punishable by death.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So it was a very strict thing. You're not allowed to have relations with a woman, nor are women even allowed in the castle. Now, this didn't stop one canon, which, by the way, canon is just similar to a priest, for those that aren't aware. I'm not talking about, like, the artillery
Kaboom.
Canon. So one canon fell in love with an Estonian woman on one of his walks outside the castle. So what did they do? Obviously, she can't just walk in there and start smooching him. They need to come up with a plan. So she decided that she would dress as a choir boy and hide amongst them so that nobody would ever find out. And this worked for some time. Nobody thought anything because, you know, if you're a choir boy, it's not like you're going to have routine like gender inspections. So this worked for quite some time. But unfortunately for them, the bishop and his Hawkeye showed up.
The Marvel superhero?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
So the bishop at the time was, you know, very astute and very perceptive. And when the choir was singing, was like, something seems off about that choir boy. So the bishop decided to investigate and discovered it was a woman. What the heck?
Wait, so she was really going all out? Like, she wasn't just dressing up, but she was also singing in the choir?
Oh, yeah. She's got to play the part if she wants to she really see committed. Her lover. Yeah, she's behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
So the bishop was obviously furious because not only did a woman enter this sacred place, but that one of the holy people broke their oath.
Yes.
So an example needed to be made. So he concocted a devious evil plan. So the guy got the lesser of the two punishments. the guy would decided, or they decided that the canon would starve to death in a prison.
Oh my goodness.
So, that was the lesser of the two punishments.
Why did he get the lesser? He's the one who broke
because it was a woman, right? And at the time, women were not held as highly as they are today. So
especially this is a clergy, Frank. It's yeah. The clergy.
You'd think so, he would, you think they'd treat the man breaking his vow, though, worse, but sure.
I mean, it's still death.
Yeah, no, yeah, like, it's not it, like he
it's still pretty bad.
How much worse could the woman's be then?
Well, so you remember at the start of the story, I was telling you guys they were building this castle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the bishop decided, let's, and I might mispronounce this word, but let's immure her. I-M-M-U-R-E. Oh,
yeah, that means to, that's a GRE word. That means to enclose, usually in walls.
Yeah.
They put her in the wall.
Thank you, Nick. Yep. So they decided, hey, we're building this wall up. Builders, can you leave a cavity open in this wall?
Oh, and my God.
They put her in with a piece of bread and a mug of water and sealed the wall. And for days afterwards, people could hear her screaming all around the monastery. And eventually, you know, she probably died and the screaming stopped. But because her spirit was not properly laid to rest and there was, you know, intense emotion of love and whatnot, the spirit of this woman was said to wander the walls of the castle, grieving the loss of her lover. And according to legend, she is seen, I mean, all the time, but mostly in the window of the baptistry every night of a full moon.
That's intense.
Well, when you say she's, you know, wandering the walls, You mean
they did not clarify what they meant by that.
Like, it feels like home.
Oh my God. Could be. I don't know if it was maybe a typo and they meant to say wander the halls, but
I think it's
perhaps
funnier.
Both could be true. And, you know, maybe she is stuck behind the wall and you can just hear her and not see her. Although I guess some people did see her apparition. So
that's, I don't know, insane. But,
yeah.
Can you imagine?
No, and I don't want to.
Imagine, like, I'm just imagining, like, sitting here, like, in my Zoom meetings, and I hear someone, like, screaming and pleading in the wall in front of me, and I'm like,
adds a whole new definition to I'm in your walls.
Yeah, literally. And I'm like, it's a normal day. I'll just deal with this for, like, 3 weeks until the noise stops.
Yeah, how did the monastery just be like, hey, that's getting annoying. Anything we could do?
I mean, I imagine the bishop in Estonian, if that's a language, he'd be like, pay no heed
to the sounds when you break your vow.
Actually, no, he'd probably be like, heed this as a warning,
I guess.
Oh, maybe.
I think all the other choir boys were terrified and acted real manly.
No, because they were boys.
Yeah, they probably acted real tough and manly after that to make sure, you know.
I mean, no, I guess
no
so,
soy boys here.
I feel like I feel like it would be pretty obvious if it was a woman, but I don't know. She managed to pull it off somehow. So
couldn't he just have left? I wonder if it was like,
couldn't he have just left the clergy?
Yeah, is that, can you do that?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like,
pretty sure. I mean, you could have it done to you.
Get excommunicated.
Yeah. You can be excommunicated. You could be, I believe the term is laicized, where you are stripped of your priestly role and you become part of the laity. That's usually when you, you know, mess up.
He was unproselytized.
Yes, yes. I wonder, maybe
you
back
can't
then just
believe
it wasn't
this anymore.
Yeah, right? Maybe it just wasn't really a thing. You couldn't just be like, never mind. I found the woman I like.
I mean, yeah. I feel like it's pretty difficult because then, like, even if, let's say, like, they did just let you go, whatever, word's going to get around that, like, oh, so-and-so got kicked out of the clergy because he fell in love and broke his oath.
Yeah, I guess it's not much of a vow.
What a loser.
You can just...
How's he going to get a job now?
Yeah.
He'd be an apostate.
Yes, an apostate.
Is that what it is?
I think it's apostate.
Apostate.
Yeah, I mean that would be even more so if you like denounce the faith, if you renounce, I shouldn't say denounce.
Yeah,
if you totally reject. So yeah, I guess you're right. I guess it's not something you can just do willy nilly. Otherwise, what's the point of making the vows?
True.
Yeah.
Well,
so
they got what was coming to them. Next. No, that's terrible.
So
that's so sad.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring it a little closer to home. Not quite close to home. We'll do U.S. now. There's obviously
USA.
A ton of stories. I'm just going to pick one from a different state.
You know,
down in the heart of Texas.
This is going to go out the day before 4th of July. So.
Wow.
Happy 4th of July.
Anyway. yeah, happy 4th of July, I guess. Here's a homegrown American story for you.
American
from one of the nations that became a state, Texas. So in the 1930s, the story started, you know, circulating around the Dallas area of the Lady of White Rock Lake.
Mm.
Say that five times fast.
Lady of White Rock Lake. Lady of White Rock Lake. Okay.
Yes, it's tough. But one of the accounts of this story goes that on a hot summer night, there was a young couple from Dallas driving to the shore of White Rock Lake. As they were driving, they turned on their headlights and saw, what they see, guys?
A woman in white.
A young girl in white.
Oh, well, a
that's
young
correct.
Girl. Okay, that's not quite.
Yeah, it's
how
still
old?
It's close. I don't think it really said, but
Like a kid or like a...
Not, I don't think a kid. I think
a
like...
A young lady?
Just like a young lady. So, you know, and this young lady was dripping wet. And so they pulled the car over and like rolled down the window, and the woman in white said, "I'm so sorry to intrude, and I would not under any other circumstances, but I must find a way home immediately. I was in a boat that overturned. The others are safe, but I must get home."
And, highly, you know, suspicious.
She was obviously very shaken up by this, and they saw her shaken up, and so they're like, "Okay, we'll gladly take you home," because it was the 30s. It was a simpler time. People would just be generous to people. And so she climbed into the car's rumble seat, which I think is just like an external seat. I could be wrong.
Back in the day.
Back in ye olden times. But she climbed into the back because she didn't want to get the woman of the couple wet. And she told them, you know, "I live in the opposite side of Dallas," and, you know, gave them an address. So, you know, they're driving, and as they get closer, they turn the rumble seat around, you know, be like, "Hey, we're getting pretty close. How do you get around here?" And then when they turn the seat around, there's nothing, but the seat is still wet.
Oh,
like sopping wet. So, they were like, "Okay, that's weird. Let's go to the address anyway and see what's up." So they continue driving to the address, and they go to the door, and there is a man that answered with a very worried face. And the couple like explained the whole thing that happened. And the man said, "This is a very strange thing. You are the third couple who has come to me with this story. 3 weeks ago, while sailing on White Rock Lake, my daughter was drowned."
Dun, dun, dun. There it is.
And so, yep. So, an accidental death. Death tragic. Too soon. Tragic death.
But she was an angel.
Yeah. And so, she appeared sopping wet, hoping to, you know, try and see her family, probably. And
I have a theory about this one.
Let them know. Okay, Frank, go with it.
So one, this is so sad. It must be very... Imagine being the father and having people come to you multiple times and be like, "I saw the ghost of your dead daughter." That must be so traumatizing. But, so I looked up what a rumble seat is, and we were right. It was an external seat. If you look at the show notes, you'll see the picture I'll add. But if you guys look at the picture I put, it's the seat in the back that's like outside of the car.
Interesting.
My theory is the car hit a bump and she went flying because there's no seat belts. There's nothing. Can you imagine what would happen? You would fly. You would get like launched out of the car if you're sitting in a rumble seat.
You also have to remember, in like the 30s and 40s, cars didn't go that fast compared to what they do today.
You don't think so? I mean, I don't know.
No.
What, you don't think they went more
than
like...
Cars today, like your car today, Frank, could probably top out like 120 miles per hour.
Nah.
I mean,
try
unless you soup it up.
2,000.
Back in the day, I'm pretty sure they could only really get up to like maybe 60.
And so, oh, wow. You know, yeah. Wasn't, up to 50 miles per hour.
Yeah. So like that would be like crazy driving. So probably most of the roads were like 20, 30 mile an hour roads. So I mean, it's not to say a bump wouldn't send you flying, but you'd have to really be going, I think, to hit a bump and send things flying.
Okay, maybe that's not what happened. Maybe this is a ghost. But
yeah, there's your anachronism.
You also thought it was the third time this happened.
she got launched. Hear me out. She keeps getting launched back to the lake.
They took a turn too wide. She just like tumbles into the lake.
We're blasting off again. Right? Yep.
And it just coincidentally happened to be this daughter that like miraculously lived and was like desperately trying to get home.
Well, yeah, she's got like, you know what? You got me there. I feel like that's the really, that's the point that brings, that makes it impossible.
That, yeah. I just don't think they would be going fast enough.
It looks like some cars were getting up to 100 miles per hour in that decade, towards the end of the decade.
Well, yeah, but not like a, that was like a one out of a thousand cars.
I just want to say,
it's not just like a recreational.
Isn't that crazy that they had that external seat?
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
With no seatbelts.
No, with nothing. No, and the cars don't have any crumple zones, right? They're just like solid metal. Like there's no shock absorption.
Again, though, you're not like going that fast.
Yeah, but remember in The Great Gatsby at the end when, spoilers, the lady gets like...
Did you just see spoilers about The Great Gatsby? Which was written like 100 years ago?
In case any sixth graders are listening and they're going to read it next year, class.
I bet they'll love the spoilers because then they don't have to read it.
That's true. They're not going to read it anyway. They're going to read Shmoop or Spark Notes. What do people, what do kids read nowadays? ChatGPT?
Kids don't read.
That's true.
They watch TikTok.
They probably
brain rot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you would know nothing about that.
I wouldn't.
But yeah. So, wow. What a time to be alive back then in the 30s.
So, The Great Gatsby, Frank.
What was that? The 20s? So, yeah, it's actually around this time period. But,
what were you going to say?
I don't know.
Driving in the cars. Car crash because people were drinking and then we're like, let's get in each other's cars and not take the correct person. Yeah, I'm just saying
cars were so dangerous back then, regardless of speed. But anyway, yeah. No, of course, this is a very common woman in white story structure. Not even just woman in white, but just ghost story structure. One that comes to mind that's really similar to this that was just on, or is often on Jim Harold's Campfire, is a story of people somewhere in England driving down the road at night and seeing a little girl run into the middle of the road, and then they hit the little girl and they feel the boom, the bump, or I guess the two bumps of, you know, going over the body, and they pull over and they freak out and they get out and no damage to the car. They see no sign of anything in the car and they turn and there's no kid, right? There's nothing. And they're like, oh my God, where'd the body go? And they call the police, and the police is like...
The constable,
right? And they go, we're at, you know, X Street, the corner of X Street and Y Street, and the constable's like, let me guess, and you just ran over a little girl. And they're like, what? Yeah. And they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. People see that all the time. And hang up.
Have a nice night.
Can you imagine being, like, a parent of, like, a little girl on that street, though? Yeah. And like one time it just turns out to be true and the police are just like, don't worry about it.
Happens every night at 10. And they're like, no, this was like an adult woman and it was in the morning. They're like, nah, must have been a ghost. It's the ghost. Like, we have the body. It's like, nah.
She's dead, honey.
Yeah. So no, this is I don't know. This I feel like this is like such like a stone tape theory sort of story where it's like a tragic event keeps repeating over and over.
Yeah.
But it interacts with the people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think it's quite a stone tape. What is it?
If it
it's this little girl wet, that's trying water. To get back to. I think it's this little girl sopping wet because she drowned.
How is she leaving water?
I think she's. What do you mean?
Is it ghost water?
I don't know. You think I am a ghostologist?
Well,
ghosts can do a lot of stuff, Frank. They can throw things. Like, how do you explain that?
Yeah, I guess it's the same mechanism. They can interact with physical stuff when they want to. I just don't understand how a ghost could be wet, like dripping wet.
They're covered in water.
Okay.
If you can touch something, you can be covered in something.
Okay, but oftentimes ghosts can't touch things. Or they go through things.
I don't know. I feel like poltergeists and stuff can tend to touch stuff. So
I guess
we don't know the limitations of ghosts.
It's so weird that it's a ghost that's like, you know, it, because the implication here, it doesn't look like a ghost, right? It's not glowing. It's not translucent.
Like a,
it's not
a
white.
Little girl.
It's a full body. Even apparition is not the right word, right? A full body manifestation.
It's more like a phantom.
Sure, yeah, but it's like fully physical. Very weird.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think she's trying to get back to her family, and just for whatever reason, something's stopping her from being able to, and she's just like, oh, Frank's stopping her.
I'm stopping her.
but she just can't go any further and probably just like vanishes into water or something.
I guess she's swimming.
Just keep swimming.
Can she swim as a ghost?
I don't know.
Like, does she manifest as a wet physical body? Like, I just don't understand the mechanism
here.
Well,
that's how they saw her, was a dripping wet ghost.
Yeah, but they didn't just see her. They left water. That's the part
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Is
she showed up dripping wet.
Well, Frank, when someone shows up in your apartment soaking wet, ask them if they're a ghost.
That's just because I threw Sarah in the pool.
Yeah, and now you're a ghost and you're just reliving her killing you.
Yeah. I see dead people. I'm the dead person. Yeah. Spoilers. Wait.
What?
Is it? I don't know.
Anyway.
Spoilers on a car.
We got a couple more stories. We're getting a little closer to where we are right now. So you guys know where Amsterdam, New York is.
Quite familiar.
Isn't that what New York City used to be called?
It was New Amsterdam.
Oh, where's Amsterdam? Is that far from here? It feels like it's north or
45
west.
45 minutes west and probably a little north.
Okay.
But mostly west.
So a little closer for me, but there's a road called Widow Susan Road in Amsterdam, New York. Now, okay. I think you see where this is going.
I think so.
There is a woman.
What?
Named Susan. And she was married to a man named Harmonis de Graaf.
No way. Harmonis de Graaf?
Okay.
And they had several children on their farm that was at the bottom of this road, presumably not named Widow Susan Road until after the fact. But they didn't say how, but somehow Harmonis had died 1848, making Susan a widow. So Susan then raised the kids, took care of the farm, and then she decided one day to move to Michigan, where she had passed away sometime after in 1892.
Damn, what did Michigan do to her?
Well, she lived like 40-something years after her husband died. So, like, probably nothing. But there's some stuff left to interpretation as to where she was buried. Could have been in Michigan, or could have been next to her daughter in the Green Hill Cemetery in Amsterdam. So, as the story goes, many people have seen the ghost of Susan in an old-fashioned white dress, crying and searching around, looking for something. A lot of the time she's seen walking along the road, or at one of the three nearby cemeteries, whose names I don't recall because I didn't write them down. And so, you know, it's the common belief that she's looking for her husband's grave.
Oh.
Because they weren't buried together. But that can't be confirmed because his grave, nobody knows the exact location. So, but people suspect that she's looking around for her husband's grave and just can't find it. Also, you know, in classic fashion, if you say Widow Susan three times on Widow Susan Road, her apparition appears and some weird stuff happens.
So can we try this?
If you want to drive to
Amsterdam.
I
mean, we could.
It's not, I mean, looking at the map, it's not that far away.
I have a vague memory of friends of mine in high school, like,
no way,
doing not Chris, other friends.
How close is this to you, Nick?
Like 15 minutes.
No way.
Well, not Manans, but
yeah. Well, if we're ever at, Nick, can we just say right now, if we're ever at your house for whatever reason, can we take a little detour?
I mean, I guess.
Why not?
Frank, you're the one that doesn't want to see anything.
That's true. I'm creeped out right now.
Oh my God. Plus,
I feel like all the girlfriends will not be too happy if we bring something home. So at least I know Fallon would not be happy.
Like a ghost woman home instead of them?
Yeah. No, just like a ghost.
Oh. Yeah. Do you guys think there could be a ghost in like a apartment complex?
Yours, I think about that definitely. A lot.
Don't say that.
It's probably,
it smells like there could be.
Oh, it definitely smells like
it. It's not my apartment. It's not my apartment. It's my definitely. Hallway.
Frank has sulfur rocks in his room.
In my, that's just the demons in the closet. The skeletons in my closet, literally.
Literally, yeah.
True. But yeah, probably not my apartment complex, unless it's on like some Native American burial ground. Well, seeing as it was built like within the past 5 or 10 years,
so what?
Probably not many people have died here, if any.
We can make it 2.
We can make it 3.
Who?
The 3 of us?
Oh.
What, do we have a suicide pact? What are you talking about?
A suicide squad?
Sorry. No.
No.
Anyway, no. Yes, anyway. There are probably many apartments, including what I've learned, Polytech apartments at RPI.
That's true.
Probably haunted.
It just feels like less likely because there's so many people around and eyes around, right? Compared to, you know, a rural home in the middle of nowhere.
I mean,
in Amsterdam.
Frank.
A farm.
For one, Amsterdam is not the middle of nowhere. 2, the city is terrible. 3, I told a Black Eyed Kid story of a guy in England who the kids were outside of his apartment door. That is a door that, you know, deadbolts when it's shut, so, and no one followed him inside.
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's just like
4, we've done a story about a hotel and a restaurant and all these very heavily populated places.
All this to say, Frank, your apartment's haunted.
Yeah. I'll bring my EMF meter next time.
Don't look at the ceiling.
Don't look up.
Anyway, we got one more story, which was the inspiration for this episode.
Oh.
Hattie the Hitchhiker.
Hattie.
Hattie. H-A-T-T-I-E.
Okay.
So, New York's capital, Albany.
I know that place.
Yeah, pretty close to us. There's a cemetery, Graceland Cemetery.
I gotta see where it is.
Which is home to Hattie the Hitchhiker. And the story goes that on a cold, rainy night,
ooh, nice,
there is a man driving on Delaware Avenue in classic fashion.
Okay.
And he saw a girl in a prom dress standing outside a cemetery.
Oh. A little different.
So he's, you know, being a nice gentleman, offers her a ride, and she hops in, but she's shivering cold. It's a cold, rainy night. So he's, again, gentlemanly and offers his jacket, and she, you know, puts it on and warms up. And then when he drops her off, you know, forgets to ask for his jacket back. And in the morning, next morning, he's like, oh, shoot. You know, she must have taken my jacket by accident. And so he goes back to the house to get the jacket and knocks on the door. An old woman answers and says that she does not have a daughter anymore and that her daughter was killed on the night of her prom by a drunk driver.
Ooh.
Now, you guys had, if you guys were gambling, where would you bet that this young girl was buried?
Well, I'd say
the cemetery she was outside.
The state capitol. Oh.
The state, I mean, the Capitol building is haunted, but that's really a different story. I think so. The New York State Capitol.
Nick, get
could
on
be,
that.
Could be wrong. But yep,
will do.
Might be something to look into for another episode. But yeah, so the Graceland Cemetery, Nick. So the man's like, okay, I don't buy it. Something's up. So he drives to the cemetery looking for this girl or his jacket and finds a tombstone. And lo and behold, what's on in the tombstone?
The jacket.
Exactly.
Now weird. That.
So, wait, so what do you make of that?
That so, is Resurrection Mary.
Yeah. It's pretty.
Or at least there.
It's the same story, no?
I do remember a story of a guy picking up a girl and then he gave her something. I don't remember exactly if it was a jacket or not. And then he doesn't get it back. The next day he goes to the house. Someone else answers, oh, my daughter died whenever. He goes to a cemetery and finds what he gave the girl. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, so.
Proliferates.
So. I might be stupid.
Might be.
Well,
it's a cold, rainy night. A man's driving. Yep. He sees the girl outside the cemetery. He offers her a ride. Where does he bring her?
Back to her house.
And she walks into the house.
Yeah.
Got it. And okay. That's weird.
Yeah, that's weird. Somebody would want to go to their house.
No, it's
that's crazy, man.
No, it's weird that. No, it's just no. Obviously, it's weird. It's a ghost story, but like, no, it's weird to like the you know, he sees like the lady, the girl, get in the house. You know, I'm just seeing like the logistics of how like what he would see. He would pull up to this house. He would see the girl like. What, unlock it or walk in? Like, obviously, the woman, the owner of the house, the parent doesn't show up at that point.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, like, exactly what did he see?
Because it's at night, I'm wondering maybe he just dropped her off and, like, she waved him on or whatever. And then she just, like,
disappeared.
I don't know. She could have disappeared. She could have walked back to the cemetery. Who knows? But it seems like
she walked back into the cemetery to climb into the ground.
To climb in back into the ground.
She couldn't
and
just
put the jacket.
She couldn't just teleport.
On the well, I don't know. It's kind of interesting because this is the second story that has like it's almost like a record or like the stone tape.
You know, I think
where
she got out, you know, once the guy drove off, she got back out of the house, waited for another hitchhiker. And asked to be brought back to the cemetery.
And took their jacket and then
it's
left it at the house, but the guy went to the cemetery.
Yeah, to find her, thinking that she lived at the cemetery.
So then what do you make of the Lady of White Rock Lake? You think she like jumped onto another person's car?
I'm telling you, that's because of that back seat. Yeah.
You think she like fell off and started hitchhiking back to the lake?
Launched
and then hitchhiked her way back to the lake.
Yeah.
I buy it. That's all I got for this episode. I don't know if you guys want to delve deeper into what you think about women in white. You think they're real? You think it's all just too cliche?
I mean, I think the women in white stuff is there are a lot of stories of it, you know. It's the classic. Not everyone can be lying. There has to be something to it.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't really have much to benefit off of.
No.
Like, what does this guy have to benefit driving this girl around and then looking for his jacket? Like, that's something you just make up.
My closing thoughts are this is the sort of innocent, harmless, paranormal experience that I would want to have, because these sorts of stories, at least, doesn't seem like they leave the experiencers with any lasting side effects or like negative impact, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like, and then they died the next day. It's just like, ooh, that was scary. That was eerie. And it just becomes a crazy story to tell at parties, right? And people are like, that's, you didn't see that. I think that's the sort of thing I want to experience, which was probably why I never will, right? I'll never see Hattie. But yeah, I echo what Nick said. I do think a lot of these are like, oh yeah, well, this story's about this town, so let's write about this town. But it's such a common thing over the ages, as you showed us tonight. There obviously is an element of truth to it. So I think I definitely believe that this emotional state that you're in when you die, right? I mean, as Catholics, like, belief in purgatory kind of aligns with that. You're in an in-between state. You kind of have unfinished business. And there are stories of like officially sanctioned stories about people in purgatory that visit alive people and ask them to do things for them. I feel like it's pretty analogous or a similar phenomena to that, but maybe these people are kind of more, I don't want to say permanently stuck, because that's kind of a very scary idea, that you can die in a state of distress and be permanently stuck reliving what happened for all eternity. So I hope that's not the case. Or I hope at least that's not the case when I die. But I tend towards believing that it's a real thing that happens, that people see. And I hope to see it one day.
All right. Well, appreciate you guys listening to these, you know, rather scattered stories. There's plenty more. I'd encourage everyone to just go look up Women in White stories, because I have yet to see one where it has been tragic. Like, oh yeah, then the woman in white comes back and burns your house down. Like Frank said, they're usually huff, pretty
dog. I'm gonna puff and I'm gonna.
They're usually pretty like harmless. So they're a good read if you want, as our friend Jim Harold on the campfire would say, a head scratch.
Yes. I guess.
So with that, looking forward next episode. Any ideas, boys, what we're doing?
Well, Aaron, I'll be up next episode. I think you've inspired me with these last few local stories. So I think, you know, we'll see where it goes. I'll return to maybe Albany County and we'll see what legends there are of the state capitol, capitol buildings, and just the region. You know, awesome. Me, I love those local spooky stories.
I like stories that have different perspectives personally, but to each their own.
I like the wild stuff.
Yes.
The crazier and more insane, the better.
Don't worry, I'll make sure mine isn't too historical or dry. That's I've never right. had that before, ever.
Never once.
A lot to look forward to, but I think that's where we're going to wrap it up tonight. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, like, do whatever social media stuff on all of our platforms.
Well,
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. Go to our website, view the show notes, and leave a comment if there's something you want to listen to. We'll make it happen. If there's something you want us to stop yammering on about, we'll tell Frank that he's no longer on the episodes, but
I'll just edit it. Imagine it's just I'm editing you guys. I'm just crying.
But remember, if you see a woman white, probably not a bad thing, but just make sure to bring an extra jacket.